Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I've been sharing for the last couple of days a message entitled, The Light of the Soul. We've been talking about eyes. So I just like to kind of just pause a minute and kind of give a review that we've been looking at the Song of Solomon and looking at the response of the Lord Jesus Christ to His church, and basically that He is overwhelmed with love when He looks at His beautiful bride. I know this is, you know, it's somewhat overwhelming to think about, but this is what the Scriptures say. But as I was sort of concluding on yesterday's broadcast, that it's my intention for God's people in my life, in your life, because it helps us to go through this day-to-day normal existence we have if we have an eternal perspective. And how could we summarize God's purpose during our earthly lives here in this realm? Well, maybe we could just sum it up simply by saying God wants us to know, to love, and to serve Him. We have to first know Him, to become truly acquainted with Him, and from that naturally flows love and service. Brother, sister, you have a purpose for your life unlike that of anyone else, and as God's child, the Holy Spirit, who resides within you, will lead you into all truth and direct your paths as you seek to be led of Him. Now, every one of us, our lives may be quite different from one another, but there is one thing we absolutely share in common as the people of God. We have an eternal inheritance. When our life on earth is over, should Jesus tarry, we will, each one of us, stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the reward of those works that we've done in our body. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. And so, shouldn't it behoove us to live our lives in light of eternity? No matter what difficulty or trial, brother and sister, that you might be going through right now, a day is coming in which you will be in the very presence of God and never, never again have to suffer pain, sorrow, or tribulation. And I think the Lord wants me to just share these truths because we need to meditate upon, you know, the glory and the wonder that are in these promises that God has given us. Jesus endured the contradiction of sinners against Himself. Scripture says He endured the shame of the cross. Why? What gave Him the courage, the strength for the joy that was set before Him? Likewise, for the joy set before us, we can overcome the trials of life. Isn't that true? Think about it. As perfect as the Garden of Eden was, our future existence shall be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Psalm 16:11 says, In His presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We will be united with loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, never again to be parted. Think about it, brother, sister. There'll be perfect satisfaction, complete fulfillment, a never-ending adventure of discovery in the universe of God. I don't know about you, but I can't take that all in. The Scripture says, our eyes haven't seen, our ears heard, our hearts have not conceived, but God's Spirit shall reveal the things He has prepared for them that love Him. Isn't that thrilling? Even so, Face your life bravely and boldly, beloved, knowing where you're headed. You and the God of heaven and earth are a majority. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 through 18 unequivocally states, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together," who's together with them, those that have gone on before, by death, "in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You see, this is scriptural encouragement that I'm giving you through this broadcast. Praise God. Before I return to the message, let me just obey the Lord. "For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, now you see through a glass darkly, but a time is shortly coming when you shall see face to face. The years of your days are as a brief breath, a passing moment. I'm preparing you to dwell in my realm, where time shall be no more. I live in the endless now. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you shall also be. Therefore, take heart and run gladly the race that is set before you. Redeem the time by seeking, above all else, my righteousness and the kingdom of God. Do not faint, neither be weary, for I shall renew your strength. As you reach the end of your course, when you've persevered to the finish line, you shall receive an incorruptible crown. You shall see me smile in welcome, and you will receive from mine own hand even the victor's crown of life, says the Lord." Praise God. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing the very words of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, as I've been sharing, we've looked at the Song of Solomon, and we were looking at that verse in verse 5 where Jesus says, "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." And when you think about that, why should they? That's just a staggering thought, that he left heaven to be with his beloved bride, to redeem her, and he delights in his church presently as well as in the ages to come. He is going to rejoice in his people. And think about this. He says that you should turn your eyes from me, for they have overcome me. The eyes of his chosen still overcome the Lord Jesus, because his eyes are full of love. Therefore, he is overcome by our eyes when we are looking up to him. And I want to share the various ways we can look at him. But we have to return his glance. We have to be looking at him, toward him. Amen. And not turn our glance away. So how can we return his glance? How can we look full in that in his wonderful face? Years ago, we used to sing a song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world shall go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Well, first of all, our eyes overcome him when we look up to him in deep repentance. When we come to Jesus, first off, as a sinner, we're asking for forgiveness for our sins, or perhaps maybe as a backslider, desiring to be restored in fellowship. Whenever, beloved, we are sorry for unrighteousness in our lives, we look to him to be freed from it, that the precious blood of Jesus can cleanse us. What does John say? "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And when we look to him by faith for salvation, for what does the word say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And faith pleases the heart of God. It brings joy to his heart. When we look to him in prayer, we need to be just as tenacious as Jacob was when he was in that desperate plight. He was in personal trouble. He was pleading the promise. He was wrestling with the angel of the Lord as he prepared to meet his brother Esau that following morn. He said, "I will not let thee go unless you bless me." And of course, the Lord was very gracious and blessed him indeed and changed his name to Power with God. Amen. And as a prince, he has power with God and with men. Israel, that's what that name means. And we overcome the Lord when we look to his love alone for all things. He is the source of our supply and our blessings. I read a poem once that goes, "When in sore trouble, quietly waiting upon him, when in hope, patiently submitting to him, when under severe tests, firmly believing in his love and his help, when in full assurance, joyfully expecting." Beloved, all these are expressions of our love, and they deeply touch the heart of our precious Savior. And as we look in rapturous, restful love, "Be still and know that I'm God," as we delight in our relationship with Him, He's altogether lovely and He's all mine. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4 says, referring to the Lord, "He brought me to His banqueting table, His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love." There was a song, "And He brought me to His banqueting table, His banner over me is love." And our eyes can fill with tears of delight as they gaze upon Him. And as we do that, as we're so overwhelmed with His love, they overcome Him. Our heart burns with love to Him, and we adore Him. And this wins everything from Him. Why? Because that's all God ever wanted throughout all of eternity, the love and fellowship of His children. And also, finally, we can look to Him in sacred longing for His appearing. Praise God, Jesus is coming again. We need to be overcome, brother and sister, with a desire for a personal revelation of Himself to us by the Spirit of God. And most of all, we need to yearn for His return, His second coming. Revelation 22 and 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Oh, the power of a spiritual man with Jesus, a spiritual woman with Jesus. Oh, the power of the bride with her bridegroom. He will deny nothing. This is just so overwhelming. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will just quicken these thoughts. Holy Spirit, we release You to do that in every one of our lives, that we'll be so overwhelmed with a passionate love for Jesus that we will fulfill these very scriptures and bring joy and overwhelming delight to the heart of our beloved Savior. We thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I so appreciate you listening and joining me for this brief time we share together. And I invite you to tune in tomorrow. If any time you miss a broadcast, just go to unveilchrist.org, click on the podcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. I love you. Thank you for your prayer, support, and financial gifts. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,